Today on Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, you're going to learn some English expressions about the sea. Hello and welcome. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And together with over 45 years of teaching English between us, we're going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. Hello, Reza. How are you today?
Arr, me hearties. I am fine. I am ship shape and Bristol fashion. I am as fit as a fiddle. I'm a crazy old sea dog.
Why are you talking like that?
This is the accent I do when I'm doing a pirate. Because, see, all the pirates in British seafaring history was always from the southwest, you see.
You sound like a farmer, not a pirate.
It's the same thing. Down in Cornwall and Devon, they's all farmers and smugglers and pirates. They's all the same, ain't they?
You better stop doing that or I'll send you up to the crow's nest.
Oh, no, don't send me up there. Nobody wants to be in the crow's nest.
I'll walk the plank with you.
Oh, walk the plank is to punish someone. Isn't it? What they had to walk the plank out and then jump into the sea, right?
Yeah. Was it pirates? Or, no, it was in the British Navy, I think.
Navy did it. Maybe pirates as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
British Navy and pirates, there's not much difference, to be honest. If you go, there's a certain point in history when they were kind of one and the same.
Well, they were both stealing things that didn't belong to them.
Yes.
Before we jump into the sea and speak about English expressions from the sea, do we have any feedback this week, Reza?
We do. We have an email from Becky. Shall I read it out?
Yes, please.
Hello, guys. Congrats for your podcasts. Very useful. I'm going straight to the point. Oh, she is, isn't she? I'm going straight to the point. I'm really very confused with the use of the apostrophe in this case. 80s. Does she write 80s with no apostrophe? 80 apostrophe S, apostrophe 80S, 80S apostrophe? I want to get a tattoo with the following sentence. 80s girl at heart, meaning I'm a big fan of the 80s music, culture, fashion, everything. Or that I should have been born in the 80s. Oh, maybe you mean or that I should have been born in the 80s. Should have been born in the 80s. Feeling of or belonging to another decade. And I want to make sure I don't get it in the wrong way. I think you mean I want to make sure I don't do it the wrong way, because it'll stay forever on my skin.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Be careful. Could you please help me out here? Yes, I think we can. 80s. Where shall we put the apostrophe?
What do you think, Reza? Because she wants to say that she's an 80s girl at heart. I wrote an email back to Becky and I said my opinion, but I said, wait. Don't do the tattoo yet until you've heard what Reza has to say, because tattoos are forever, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you can remove them, but you want to make sure 100% that what you're writing on your skin and having on your tattoo is correct English. Yeah. So let me tell you what I told Becky and tell me if you agree. With the apostrophe before the year, so not 1980, not 1980s, but just apostrophe 80s. That apostrophe replaces the 19.
Yeah.
The apostrophe replaces the 19.
Yeah.
So I suggested apostrophe 80s. So apostrophe 80s. Do you agree with that? Or do you think there should also be a possessive S because she's a girl of the 80s? An 80s girl.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think that would be normal to do that. Yes, you could put an apostrophe before the 8. So apostrophe 80s, apostrophe 80s. Yeah, you could do. You could also put 80 apostrophe S. I've seen that. That's a special use of an apostrophe S, which is not a possessive. It's just a special use for years, right? For decades, we often write the decade 80, 70, 50, whatever, 80 apostrophe S. However, of course, it isn't necessary to put any apostrophe at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just writing 80S with no apostrophe is also correct. Yeah, it's also correct.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I did say I thought it would look strange to have apostrophe AT apostrophe S. It kind of looks like the AT would be in two inverted commas.
I quite agree. Yeah. My suggestion is don't put any apostrophe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's my suggestion. My suggestion is 80S with no apostrophe, because that is correct. Mm-hmm. And also then you don't have to worry about the apostrophe, because if this is going to be a tattoo, imagine something happens on your skin to the apostrophe. It might begin to look odd. So just don't get one. If I was getting a tattoo with that on my skin, I wouldn't bother with the apostrophe. I just wouldn't get any. What about that?
Yep, I would agree with that. So there you have both our opinions. And just to make sure, Reza, you don't disagree with me when I say that you can have that apostrophe before the 80.
Oh, yeah.
So if Becky has already done the tattoo, she shouldn't be crying that she's made a mistake on this tattoo.
No, no.
Good.
It could be apostrophe 80S or 80 apostrophe S. As Craig says, don't put two apostrophes. That would look silly. Or no apostrophe, 80S.
So there you are, Becky. And please, when you do have the tattoo, please send us a picture, because we'd love to see it. And we will put it in the show notes to this episode at inglespodcast.com/150.
Well, depending on where you get the tattoo. If we can publish it, we will.
Well, probably in Spain.
Yeah, okay. In Spain, we can publish that.
We can publish that.
Yeah.
Next, we have a voice message from Juan from Jaén, which is, according to Juan, the world capital of olive oil. Have you heard of that before?
I have, yeah, and I would agree with that. Great olive oil from Jaén.
Known as liquid gold by the locals in Jaén. So let's hear Juan's voice message.
Hello, Reza. Hello, Craig. How are you? I'm Juan. I live in Jaén. I am 50. Thank you for your podcast. You work a lot to do this podcast. They are very funny, and you are helping a lot of people who want to improve your their English.
Thank you, Juan, for your message all the way from Jaén, and very nice it was too. Very good English.
Thank you very much, Juan. We have some more feedback. We have some comment on the blog, which is from Roberto. It's about episode 141, when we use the expression go to hell, or get lost, or get out of here, which in Spanish is vete al carajo. And he wrote something very interesting about that, Craig.
Yes, this is what Roberto said about vete al carajo. From my point of view, the real meaning of the expression vete al carajo comes from the Navy, where carajo is that small basket, o sea, cesta, the basket at the top of a main mast. The mast is the big piece in the middle of the ship that holds the sails. He says, I think it's called a crow's nest, and it's a suitable word for that place in English. And it adds another meaning of the Spanish word carajo. Not a good place to be, for sure, says Roberto, up in the crow's nest in the carajo at the top of the ship. Cheers, Roberto. Well, thank you, Roberto, for I did not know that. Did you know that was the original meaning of carajo?
I had no idea, no. It's very interesting. And you're right, you wouldn't want to be in that crow's nest on a tall mast on a stormy day at sea. You really wouldn't want to be there.
No, you wouldn't. Crow is cuervo in Spanish, and I think they used to, years ago, they used to send out crows or birds to find land, because if the crow flew back to the ship, then there wasn't land close. But if the crow didn't come back, then obviously it found land. So I didn't know that. I also want to thank Marcelo Fernandez, who sent an explanation and a picture of a crow's nest on a ship. And you can see that in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/150. So thanks, Marcelo, for sending in that photo. And this made us think, well, I wonder if there are other nautical expressions, any expressions from the sea, from the Navy in English that we can introduce you to and that you can use when you speak English. Reza, can you think of any?
Oh, there certainly are, because we have to remember that the British have a long history of sailing the seas, of seafaring. Of course, in that very famous patriotic British song, Rule Britannia.
Rule the waves.
You know, it's all about Britannia ruling the waves. That's the essence of it. Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves. Britons never, never, never shall be slaves, etc. Right. And it's based on the naval strength of the British Empire. The fact that the British Navy was for many, many, many decades the most powerful navy on the face of the earth, and no one dared challenge it. So yes, the British certainly do have plenty of expressions because of their naval history.
One that comes to mind, one that I can think of, is when something is smooth sailing. Have you heard that? It'll be smooth sailing from here on. Or sometimes you hear plain sailing. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's plain sailing, no complications. Just a gentle breeze, straight ahead, no storms, nothing difficult, easy. A piece of cake.
So how would you use that in if you wanted to use that expression in day-to-day English? Can you think of an example?
Yes. For example, if you want to listen to our podcast, it's not complicated. All you need to do is subscribe free on iTunes. Doesn't cost you anything, and you'll receive it every time the new one comes out. You'll receive the new episode. It's plain sailing. There's nothing complicated or difficult about it.
Or even easier, you can go to the App Store, download our app. We have an app for Android and iPhone. So you download Inglés podcast app from Mansion Inglés and put it on your phone, and then it's plain sailing, because every time we release a podcast, you automatically get it on your app. So it's plain sailing.
Craig, do you like to rock the boat?
No, because if you rock the boat, then you could upset someone. You could make trouble or cause trouble. So if you say something controversial or you say something to annoy someone, you might hear, don't rock the boat or don't make waves. Also connected to the sea. Don't rock the boat.
Rocking something is like moving it from side to side or to and fro. Yeah, from side to side, from one place to another and back again. Like in a rocking chair. You know these chairs which have a special curved piece of wood connecting the legs so that it rocks to and fro. It rocks. It's a rocking chair. So if you rock the boat, you're making it go from one side to the other, which is dangerous because we could all fall into the sea if you do that.
So rocking the boat is making trouble. Don't rock the boat. Don't make the trouble, or don't make waves. There's another expression that you could use with ships and sailing. Have you heard this one? Like ships that pass in the night. What does that mean?
That's a nice expression. That's a very kind of romantic expression. It's for people who meet for a brief but intense moment and then part, never to see each other again. For example, imagine two people who very quickly become lovers, but it only lasts a very short time and it's all over. So it's brief but intense. They were like ships that passed in the night.
I kind of think it's happened to me, but not necessarily as lovers. I can remember years ago, there was a girl called Annette who I really was attracted to, and I felt that she was attracted to me. And we were in touch with each other, not literally touching each other, but we were in contact with each other. We were working together, but nothing happened. Nothing ever happened. Mm. I didn't show my attraction. Then we went separate ways. We stopped working together, and we were like ships that passed in the night. because nothing ever happened. If you can imagine very, very dark sea and two ships passing, so maybe they see each other, maybe they don't, and then they just pass and continue their journey.
Yes, I think your example is a better one than mine, yeah. It's more the idea of nothing really lasting happens as a result. So it's something momentous. Yeah, there's an important moment. It's momentous, like two big ships passing each other in the night. Imagine if they collided, that would be a terrible accident. Mm-hmm. So it's quite an important moment, but they didn't collide. So yeah, it's the idea of something big was in the air, but it didn't lead to anything lasting. It didn't really.
And there was another example. I met a girl when I was about 22 on a train traveling through Europe, and she was from Austria. And she, again, we had that attraction. You can feel the attraction, but she was in a relationship and I was in a relationship. So nothing happened. Mm. But we, I think we kind of knew that if we were single, something would happen. So we were ships, again, we were ships that passed in the night because we just stayed friends and nothing happened.
Whenever you realized, Craig, that nothing was going to happen, you could have said, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, that's an opportunity that you missed, or an opportunity that passed as something that you can't change. So if the ship has sailed, then the day has gone. It's in the past. For example, I really enjoy editing video, but I know now that I will never have a full-time job doing that. I know I will never be a high standard at video editing, for example. I know that now at my age, that ship has sailed. That's not a career possibility. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a similar one. We could also say you've missed the boat. You know that one as well? The ship has sailed or you've missed the boat. It's gone.
Good one. Yep. Missed the boat. When was the last time you were three sheets to the wind?
Ooh, quite a while ago. Quite a while ago.
Me too.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
When you've had a little bit too much to drink and you're not quite behaving as you normally do, you're three sheets to the wind. I wonder if that has something to do with the sheets, which are the sails on a mast.
Exactly. Yes, it's when the sails are not fixed. They're not tied properly. So they're moving and they're flapping around in the wind. It's a complete mess. So the sails are moving. It's a disaster. So when you're really, really drunk, you can say, I'm three sheets to the wind, or that man is three sheets to the wind.
And what does flapping mean?
Flapping, moving around, making a noise, something like this. Imagine the sails flapping in the wind.
That's exactly what they sound like.
Yeah, moving in the wind.
Craig, what about taking the wind out of someone's sails? What on earth does that mean?
That's when perhaps you'd beat them in an argument. So imagine someone has a very big ego. They think they're right. They think they are correct. And you completely take away their confidence or their argument. So if you imagine a ship that's sailing really quickly, the sails are full of wind, and suddenly the ship turns and the wind drops, so it's not moving. And that was originally a maneuver, a move that the ships make in battle in order to block the ship's access to the wind. Can you think of an example?
Yes. Imagine I was going to tell a group of people at a party about an amazing experience I had in an exotic place, Indonesia, in a tropical rainforest. And I was going to tell it to all the people around, tell the story. But 5 minutes before me, another person at the party told a story about the time that he got lost in the Australian outback. And the desert in Australia, and had nothing to eat or drink for 2 or 3 days, and lived with kangaroos. Well, if I tell my story after that, he's not going to look very impressive because he told his first. So he's taken the wind out of my sails. Hmm. Now my story looks like a copy. It doesn't look very interesting. Somebody else has done it. There's nothing special about it.
Yeah, he's taken the spotlight away from you. Yeah, good example. Before we continue with more expressions from the sea, we'd like to say thank you to our sponsors, Italki. Italki is a website where you can find an online teacher. It's very affordable. It's very convenient because you study when and where you want to study. And there's a selection of wonderful teachers that have different prices and different services. So you find a teacher that's right for your English needs. Now, if you sign up through our website at inglespodcast.com/italki, Italki are offering 100 free credits for you, and that will get you started with your first lesson free. So if you'd like more information, go to our link at inglespodcast.com/italki and start studying with your personal English teacher today. Reza and I would like to say thank you to Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Reza, can you think of any other expressions that we could associate with the sea or sailing?
Yeah, I definitely can think of a few more. For example, between the devil and the deep blue sea.
El diablo.
Yeah, el diablo y el mar azul profundo. Well, the deep blue sea, deep, right out in the middle of the sea or the ocean, that's not a good place to be. It's floating around. You're probably going to die if you don't get to land pretty quick. So the devil's not good, but also the deep blue sea is not a good place to be either. In other words, you have two bad choices and you have to choose one, but neither of them are going to be easy. Another way to say it is between a rock and a hard place. Because what is a rock? It's basically a hard thing, right? It's a hard place. So it's more or less the same thing. You got this hard place or a rock, which is also hard. So two hard, two unpleasant choices, and you have to choose one.
So it's kind of like a dilemma. It's like if you have a really bad toothache and you're in pain with one of your teeth, and you say, oh, I have to go to the dentist, but nobody likes going to the dentist. So you know if you go to the dentist, you're going to suffer. So you're between a rock and a hard place. What do you do? Both choices are bad. So you're between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Craig, you certainly know the ropes when it comes to podcasting. What does that mean?
If someone knows the ropes, they're competent at what they do. They know their subject. They know their thing. So you, Reza, are very competent at playing the violin, for example.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Craig has been too generous.
I've just heard you. I've just seen you on a video playing the violin. And I know you know the ropes when it comes to grammar. So it's someone who's competent at what they do. Although actually the origin of that statement is from when a sailor on his papers, his official work papers, said that he could use the ropes on a ship. But strangely, if he had knowing the ropes on his paper, that's not necessarily a wonderful, fantastic sailor. That just means he's a novice, a beginner who only knows the basics of sailing. So yeah, he knows the ropes, but he's not really a master sailor. So it's kind of interesting that now that means someone who's really an expert and very competent. So if you know the ropes, you know a subject very well.
Another nice expression, which is used often, which comes from the sea, is not the only fish in the sea, or something similar. There are plenty of fish in the sea, which means that you shouldn't worry if the person that you liked hasn't responded romantically, because there are other people to choose from, like the fish in the sea. Don't worry if you don't catch one. There's plenty of others to catch.
I think that's very similar in Spanish. Don't they say in Spanish, hay más peces en el mar
Do they? Maybe. I haven't heard it, but it makes sense.
Let us know. Send us an email if that's a common expression in Spanish. If you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, then your good friend will say, oh, don't worry. There are plenty more fish in the sea. Don't worry about it. There are more out there.
Yeah, you'll find another boyfriend or girlfriend. Though I find it a rather silly expression myself. I can see that people say it to make you feel better. But as it's happened to me once or twice, and people have said, oh, Reza, don't worry about that girl who doesn't want to be with you. There are plenty of fish in the sea. And I say, yeah, but I love sardines and don't really like tuna. You know?
What does that mean?
Me gustan las sardinas y el atún no tanto. Yeah, so plenty of fish in the sea, but they're not all sardines, are they?
They're not all dolphins.
You know what I mean?
They're not all mermaids.
Yeah, yeah, there are plenty, but they're not all the same, are they? And people have different tastes.
A similar expression is you could say in that situation, he or she is not the only pebble on the beach. What's a pebble?
A pebble's like a very small stone.
Usually round, isn't it? And very smooth because of the sea and the water making it very smooth.
Yeah.
So not the only pebble on the beach means there are many, many more pebbles, like more fish in the sea.
In fact, and we're not being paid to do this, it's just out of curiosity, there's a website called Plenty of Fish, which is well known in the United Kingdom. It's a dating website for that
reason.
Really? Yeah, Plenty of Fish. I know people who have used it. You go looking for a partner on it. Plenty of fish, because of the expression, there's plenty of fish in the sea.
And now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have any expressions of your own in English or Spanish connected to the sea? We'd love to hear them. And also, if you have any questions for us or an idea for a future episode. And many thanks to Roberto for giving us the idea for today's episode. You can send us a voice message and give us your opinion. Tell us what you think on SpeakPipe. So go to speakpipe.com/Ingles podcast. And before we leave you, we are happy to announce that we have another video message from you, the listeners. This one is from Andres, Aaron and Mikel from Costa Rica. By the way, we love the pineapples in the background. We did notice that detail. And if you want to see Andres, Aaron and Mikel and watch their video, you can find it on inglespodcast.com/150.
Andres, Aaron and Mikel, thanks very much. That's a brilliant video. That's really brilliant. And we love the pineapples in the background. You know, I've said it many times, I am a huge fan of specifically Costa Rican pineapples. They're the best ever. And the t-shirt, oh my God, it's a dream of mine to be a Costa Rican sloth. That is my ambition.
So what size are you?
What size am I? Probably a large, I guess.
But you have to go there to Costa Rica to collect it?
Have to go and find out, yeah.
So when are we going?
Oh, let's go to a travel agent's tomorrow and figure out.
Or being a sloth, you might not get.
Yeah, sloths don't travel a lot, do they?
Maybe in about 10 years.
that was a brilliant t-shirt. Pineapples, Costa Rica, sloths. Oh, I would be in heaven.
Yeah, seriously, guys, thanks so much for that video. They asked us a question, Reza. They asked us in their video the difference between aware and conscious, which is consciente, darse cuenta de. Well, here's an example. Are you aware of the 90-second time limit on SpeakPipe? If you use our audio feedback service, you only have 90 seconds. Are you aware of that? Are you conscious of that? Is there a difference, Reza?
I see them as very, very, very similar.
Yes, they are.
But I suppose there is a slight subtle difference. Subtle is sutil. If you're aware of something, it just means you know that it exists. But if you're conscious of something, I think means not only that you're aware, but you actually think about it, would be perhaps a slight nuance, a slight shade, un tono.
Conscious and consciousness, the noun, really suggests being aware of the world around you, doesn't it? It's almost like a sense. Un sentido. It's something that's almost mystical at times. So although you can use both with very, very similar meaning, I think consciousness definitely has a more mystical meaning connected to your senses, and aware tends to be more specific. So you're aware of particular situations and you are aware of particular facts. For example, are you aware of the fact that is a common expression. Are you aware of the fact that this podcast is very popular, for example? I've always wondered of the difference between subconscious and unconscious. Unconscious, not being awake. If you're unconscious, you are completely passed out. So you don't have consciousness. Desmayado, maybe in Spanish, or desmayado, inconsciente. And awareness is to do with the mind. It's connected to your self-awareness, the knowledge that something exists somewhere.
Technically, as you say, that there is unconscious means you do not have consciousness, whereas subconscious means it's there in your consciousness, but you're just not aware of it.
Exactly. Bajo de la conciencia.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the meaning of unconscious being completely not awake, like when you're sleeping or when you hit your head, for example, you cannot use subconscious for that. So we will see you again next week. Remember, you can send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or it could be to me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com.
Or you can send us a video or voice message like Mikel, Aaron and Andres from Costa Rica. If you'd like more detailed show notes, don't forget to go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. And before we go, just a quick hello to our lovely sponsors, who are Reza.
Our sponsors are Lara, Carlos, Lara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from IVNB Podcast, Manuel Garcia, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Manuel Tarazona, Mariel, Maite, Lorena, Pedro, Ana, and Maria. Thank you all very much.
Yes, thanks. Thanks very, very much. And we also want to thank Arminda from Madrid, who's continuing to make full transcriptions for episodes for us. So thank you. And we have finished episodes 131, 134, 135, 136, 138 and 139. She's doing a wonderful job and we'd like to thank her very much for her time and her effort. Thanks, Arminda. What's on next week's episode, Reza?
On next week's episode, the topic is words in the news.
Words in the news. So until then, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from you.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.